my lamp burning. You turn my darkness into light.
Anytime temptation comes and someone stands to fight. Anytime. the Harbor of Joy this morning, and happy Father's Day. Happy Grandfather's Day to those of you who that pertains to. Just want you to know that there is Dad's Root Beer available to all of you dads that are here today. There's some on the table back here and some on the table as you go out. Just help yourself. And this is the only bottle I've touched. Just want you to know. And if there's some left over, yes, I will drink it. There's no doubt about that. Glad that you are here today. I did hear that some sad news here this morning that Brenda Mello had passed away this past week. Just so some of you know who she is. I do not know her, but I know those of you that are here, those of you that are tuning in and listening and by video or some other listening device, you probably know who she is. So just keep that in mind and pray for the family this week. Oh, just to let you know that I did go fishing this past week with Dean Ramsey and learned a lot of things about Dean. Oh, he's here. I guess I'll better watch what I say. Dean is a great fisherman until he lost both of his blue spinners. Then it wasn't so... I had a chance to catch fish then, but we had a good time. Caught everything but walleyes. And what did we go after? Walleyes. So we came home with no walleyes, but we had everything else. And so Dean's gonna make some fish patties. We won't tell you what kind of fish are in those fish patties, but I guarantee you there's no carp and no suckers in there. But if they show up on a Wednesday night fellowship night when we have those, just know that Dean made them. And if he made them, they're gonna taste good.
No hamburgers.
No hamburgers. We'll try some fish burgers, fish patties or something. But it was a good time. Only bad thing was the wind. The wind was crazy every day, blowing from the wrong direction, the south. But we were fortunate enough to be on a lake where Sharon's, my wife's sister, they have a cabin. And so we got to stay there, and they had more of a protected lake, Crystal Lake. So it worked out fine. We had a good time, very relaxing, and almost too relaxing. We couldn't get back in the saddle when we got back.
Yeah, you didn't stay long on Thursday.
Oh, just so wore out. But at any rate, we're glad that you are here today. Glad you're listening in and you're viewing the service today. And as I said before, we just want to thank all the fathers and hope that your day is a fun-filled day and one that is memorable as well. Do want to let you know that for some of the prayer requests that we have, Terry Dirks, your dad, what do you know about him?
He started radiation treatments on Wednesday. He'll be doing that for 6 weeks, 4 to 5 days a week.
Okay, started radiation for five or six days a week.
He's taking Lupron for chemotherapy. It's an injection once a month, and he'll be doing that for 2 years.
Okay, wow. Taking some injections for 2 years. So.
Yeah, and they're trying to get him into MD Anderson Cancer Center down in Houston, which is a world-renowned cancer center.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, well, thanks for that report. Anybody hear anything from Idella? We know that she had been to Rochester. She's got some dizzy spells. She's got a new cochlear hearing. So she's got one on both ears, I think. But I don't...
She's going to be going back to Rochester, and they're going to try and figure it out.
Okay.
That's what she said.
More trips to Rochester to figure that out. Okay, Walt Meyer is back home. He is doing well. He had, there in your neck, it's called, is it the carotid? Carotid, however you say it. Carotid arteries, he got them rotor-rooted out. And he's back home, and things seem to be going very well. So Walt, we're thanking the Lord for you, and we know that you and Cheryl are listening to this or watching this. And we're glad that you're back home as well. And the care nursing staff that's here in Milford, you know, there's just a lot of things going on over there. Just pray for the strength for the staff and the nurses and the CNAs and LPNs, all those that work so diligently and show up to work every day as well at the Acura Healthcare Center here in Milford. It'd be much appreciated. Pray for the residents there as well, as I'm sure they're wondering, when is this all going to end and they can actually get together and see people versus telephones or through the window. But we have a number of people here that are used to going over there and seeing them and praying with them and visiting with them during the week as well, and have not been able to do so since March. Thank the Lord for the rain, and just let you know that if you are interested in a Bible study or to get together for prayer, more than glad to lead one of those or to meet with you for prayer during the week. Just call the church office. I said this last week, and there was only one call in that came in, so we're just going to beat the bush a little bit more this week, and we'll probably start like in July with this, but just want to give people time to think about it, to pray about it, and respond to this time of being together to do those kinds of things. Got a list of the people that helped with the landscaping, those that donated things, those that helped to work. We are so grateful that no matter how little, how big, or how much you did, what is out around the church, there's a surprise every week. The surprise this Sunday is the Asiatic lilies from the Dirks. I think they're lollipop lilies are blooming. That's what I call them. I know they're lollipops. I know that. But take a look before you go today. They're just gorgeous out there. And I might have forgot somebody in that list, and I apologize for that, but I think I got everybody, but there could be someone I did miss. So with that, I'm going to, Barb, Rolf would like to say something here this morning. And
do they have to stand for this whole time, those poor people there on the
parade? Well, how long are you going to talk? A couple of hours? Well, if you get tired, you just go sit down.
Go have your root beer then.
So, here you go, Barb.
Good morning, and I don't know what happened to me, but this week I had it on my heart to talk to you, to our congregation, and those of you that are out in their homes, and we miss you. And my friend Mary Jo Jorgensen gave me a birthday present, and she knows me quite well because I have Anxious is my middle name, I think. And she gave me a book called Anxious for Nothing. And it just is such a great book. If any of you need calming in this chaotic world, which most of us do, I suggest the book. But for the last few years and since March, we've had so many things, and now, on top of it, the killing of a man in Minneapolis, then the police brutality came to play, and then the riots, then the marches turned into riots, and then people looted and buildings were burned and so on. And the government we're so proud of, and I have always been, even since a little girl, proud of being an American and loving our country, but now we have all the hate within the political parties. And sometimes I think we maybe ask Jesus to take over this mess and come now. And you know, we live, and sometimes I live with a pit in my stomach. I get nervous about the situation, and every day it seems to be something new. And a couple of weeks ago, when the people came to Spencer, and they were protesting and marching, and it was a peaceful march, but our grandson, Grant, stayed with us. He comes, and we take turns with our grandchildren coming to stay with Nana and Grandpa Jim. And he's 10, and he started to cry. And he said, "Nana, I am so afraid for my parents and for you guys. I am worried that those people in Spencer are going to come and burn our houses down." And he asked me, "Is there any time in history that you remember things so terrible?" And I guess I remember that the people that are older than me, my parents, who fought in World War II, or Hitler was a big worry, and then we had the Vietnam crisis, and I know that Dale, you fought in Vietnam War, and I was at Iowa City going to school, and many of us were really nervous because they burned down a building and they protested the war, and I told Grant that it was just like that, and that everything turned out okay. But then another thing happened this week. Our son Brad Meyer, he's a doctor at Avera, and we were together with my only brother and his family, and we were his son had come from Arizona, and we had a joyful time together. And then all of a sudden, Brad got sick, and he was really sick. And this was on Monday afternoon, and he took a COVID test. He had the symptoms of having COVID-19, but he took a test, and we were just holding our breaths, worrying about Mom had been with us. And she's 97, and we took her out of her Kielsen, but she wanted to go and to see her grandson and her grandchildren and so on. But the test came out negative, and were we happy. That was so wonderful. And I know that we have to be safe in this time, and then now that we have more COVID in the area, but it is just like the nursing home here with COVID, and then also my mother's place at Kielsen is COVID-free now so far anyway, but we have Kay, and we have Dottie, and we have Josephine, and we have Gay, all members of our church that are there. And I just was reading on the internet about, she's a writer, a Christian writer, and her name is Lisa Whittle. And she said, had a wonderful thing, and I just wanted to quickly share it. Jesus did not mean for us to be scared. Number one, she said, God has this. John 16:33, he says, take heart, and I have overcome the world. He provides us comfort for our deepest fears. And he's handled it forever, and he continues to do so. And number two, God loves us. Many favorite verses like, for you know, Cheryl Ramsey's one of hers, and I think Julie Hansen and many people. It's Jeremiah 29:11. For you know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not fear, for disaster, to give you and a future and a hope. And it means that there is nothing we won't do, or what he will do to make us fear in our lives. And we're humans, we do. But no matter how far we stray, he will always find us. His proof of his love is through what he did. He died for our sins. John 3:16, one of my very favorite verses. The last thing is that heaven is the prize. We forget that we are not living a permanent home. Our homes are just temporary, our bodies are temporary, our jobs are temporary. And when we think of only our lives on earth, we are uneasy because of all the things that happen in this world and in our own area. We forget that the real prize is the surprise of a better existence in heaven, and which is so true. We should remember this so we would live a peaceful life, and it's hard to do that. It's easier said than done. But we pray in Philippians 3:14, pray to do it as it says, press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is coming. Heaven is the prize. And may we never get used to living a life that's scared. And I am the worst one to think about that because I worry about everything. But exchange it for the life of freedom through Jesus. Jesus Christ is the important person, I mean, to have us live an abundant life, not a life of fear. Thank you.
Let's pray. Sing away, King of Heaven.
Would you please stand as we share this song together in worship? Jesus, let your kingdom come, let your will be done here.
Jesus, let your kingdom come, let your will be done.
song to go along with what you said, Barb. It really is a great song. The responsive reading is a song that was written by John Moore and is sung by Steve Green. It goes along with the message today. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who have gone before us line the way.
Cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace.
Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, not only for the prize.
And as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives.
Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way.
Yes.
band from up here. You've been so kind and patient. And you probably saying that it's going to be good to sit down. And then for Bob, we'll hear the last of the top 10 of the hymns that he is going to give to us today. One, two, and one, it goes down today,
right
before the message. Go ahead, Bob.
This survey was conducted 3 years ago. Great response. These were the final two. If you remember, I know Karen knows all of these. 10 was when I surveyed a wondrous cross. 9 was in Christ alone. 8 was great is thy faithfulness. 7, how firm a foundation. 6, how great thou art. 5, the mighty fortress is our God. 4, come thou fount. 3, be thou my vision. And these are the final two. Long before Reginald Heber penned the words to this famous hymn, the prophet Isaiah had a vision and heard the call of the angels. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Hearing the chorus, Isaiah crumpled in abject humility and adoring worship. Woe is me. Years later, Reginald Heber felt this same awe at God's holiness and wrote this hymn in response to what he experienced. Heber, who was a minister in the Church of England, composed the poem for Trinity Sunday. The poem lay forgotten until after Heber died at the age of 43. His wife found the poem in a collection of papers and shared it with musician John B. Dykes. The song was published with music in 1861. God has used this song to impress millions of people on the truth of his holiness. The holiness of God. Two verses. I do ask for you to stand as we would share. Holy, holy, holy. Newton lived a hard life with hard consequences, God got his attention, though. 1748, Newton's slave ship was nearly wrecked by an intense storm. And in the tempest, surrounded by crashing waves, cutting winds, creaky timbers, and the cries of onboard slaves, John fell to his knees, pled for mercy, pled for grace. God's grace, which reaches anyone, anywhere, save a wretch like John Newton. Newton wrote the song years later while serving as a pastor in England. And during America's second Great Awakening, the song was paired with its familiar tune and was widely used in camp meetings and revival services. Today, its lyrics still inspire, encourage, and instruct people about the radical reality of God's amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
The book of Deuteronomy. It is the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book in the Old Testament. It's called the Book of Law. It also can be called the Pentateuch. And we're looking at chapter 6, verses 1 through 9 on this Father's Day message. And I'm kind of like hearing it just kind of for the dads and the grandpas that are here today. So you ladies, you can relax and get those elbows ready. If you have somebody next to you, go like, listen to that. Did you hear that? I invite you to stand as we hear these nine verses from Moses, who is speaking to the people of Israel before they go into the promised land. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you.
Excuse me, Tim.
Yes.
Jeff, can you put that up? Oh, I'm sorry.
Jeff, are you sleeping back there?
We're going to nudge you.
All right. That means I have to start all over. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that Moses, actually you wanted Moses to give these words to these beloved people of yours. May you use them in our lives today, 2020. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me adjust my... I don't want you to hear the P's and the S's. Okay. Last week, at the very end of the message, one of the verses, it said, freely you have received, freely give. Do you know that our faith that God has given to us, it is always, it's meant to always to be passed on to others. And in today's case, what we're looking at today, our faith is to be passed on to our children and then to our grandkids, to the next generation. How's it been going for you? How you been doing that way, dads, grandpas? You know, I'm in a part of life where I'm going like, man, I've given a number of messages on Father's Day, but I've always been like a dad and had some kids at home, and I realize this week I'm going like, I'm a grandpa. Got to look at this text from another angle of as a grandfather. And really, how am I relating to my grandkids when it comes to the faith of knowing Christ as your Savior? So here's the reality of it. Not everyone cares about what is said here by Moses in the day in which we live in. There are a lot of people who could care less what I'm going to say today. And you know that because a lot of people, younger dads today, they aren't even interested in going to church or see it as their responsibility as a dad to make sure that their children get a good spiritual education. Our children don't see the importance of having a living faith because all they have to do is look at dad. Dad doesn't go to church. Why should I have to go to church? If mom goes, well, that's typically mom. Mom will want to go, but mom, I'm not going to go unless dad goes. Well, your dad's, he's out doing something else. Or he doesn't want to go. Well, then why do I have to go? And this can start at a very young age in any home. It takes three generations for a faith to die out. Three generations. And that's why there always needs to be a revival of something new that takes place spiritually in every generation that will help keep the spiritual fire burning. And I know that there have been great moms and dads out there who have lived a great life for the Lord and have talked about the Lord, and their kids don't want to have anything to do with it. I get that. That's there too. You've tried everything you possibly can do, and it just backfired on you. Or the kids hold it over your head and say, you've drugged me to church ever since I was a little kid, and I'm tired of being drugged to church, and I'm not going to church anymore. You've probably heard that, or know of people who say that about their own children. God tells us that our faith is to be like a baton in a relay race. That baton needs to be passed on to the next runner, and if he drops it, you know, you're disqualified in the event. Thankfully, in life, we may drop that baton, but we can still pick it up again and still continue to offer it to our kids or to our grandkids. What we find here in our text today is that Moses has been told by God to say this to the people, because Moses was the mediator. He's the one that stood between God and the people. And they're about ready to cross the Jordan River to take the to take the promised land. And these are the instructions that he's given to every household. And it's really geared for the dads, for the parents of the next generations that will that are there as well as that will follow. And so the first generation to enter the promised land, they are not to forget the following. It says that the Lord our God is one. Don't forget this. Now, the way that that is translated and can be translated, it refers to God as that there is something, the people of Israel know that there is something special about this God that is with them. He is one God, but yet there is room for the Trinity here, as you have one God in three persons. We sang it in that song, Holy, Holy, Holy. Lord God Almighty, blessed Trinity. But there's something special about this God, because there's no one like him, and all the other nations that have many gods, Israel is the only one that has one God, and they put their faith in one true living God. It's the only one that is there. The Egyptians had many gods, and they could not hold the people under their thumb and to keep them oppressed. All the other nations that they're going to come into contact with prior, I mean after this, after they reach the promised land, they're going to want to go after their gods, and sad to say that they do. They want to become like the other nations, which it cost them when they did that greatly. So they're not to forget that the Lord our God is one. He is a God that has unity, a God of unity. It is also where we get the name Yahweh. Yahweh is a name for God, where it says Yahweh is our God, Yahweh is one. There is a uniqueness about this God that is alive and is helping them and speaking to them and shows himself to them in ways that no other gods have done it before. And what makes this God unique is that he's a God where he loves people. He loves his people. He loves other people as well. So that these people cannot believe that because they are special in God's sight, that they will always be that way in God's eyes. But this God is one that says, you follow me by a relationship. By the way that you love me, how you love my word. And another word that we find in here that is not looked upon too kindly in today's setting is the word to obey. Who likes to hear the word obey? Because we should say, obey me or else. But it's obedience is what God is looking for in his people. To love his word, to love him for who he is and what he is able to do and has done and will do for you and for me. To love him with your whole heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's what God is asking of us. And in particular, to dads. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. with all your soul and with all your strength. In the New Testament, we find that Jesus is asked, what are the greatest commandments? And he tells them what we find here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And there's added another word in there, with all your mind and with all your strength. You find that in Matthew 22, 37 through 39, and Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. This God is unique. He loves us, and he wants his people to love him in return. It's reciprocal. He is the best father to have. Even if you had a terrible earthly dad, or if you didn't know your earthly dad very well, we have a heavenly father who is perfect. And one who we can go to at any time. In the early beginnings of the Christian church, it's kind of like where the three creeds that are accepted worldwide by Christian churches, you know, that's the Apostles' Creed, we say that every Sunday. But then there's some longer ones. I've shown this to the confirmation kids. I'm going like, okay, here's the three creeds. The Apostles' Creed, which we study, but then there's the Nicene Creed, which is a little bit longer, and it's dealing about who Jesus is, that he is God. He is human, but yet he is still God. And there is the Athanasian Creed, that deals with who Jesus Christ is as well, that he is God. So the theology that has been worked with from the very beginning has taken many theologians and pastors and people getting together for councils and for meetings to kind of sort this all out, because there was false teaching going on. And the creeds are the ones that set people straight on saying, this is what the Bible teaches about who Jesus Christ is. That's why we have the creeds. They give us guidance. They give us that reassurance. If you are wondering about, is Jesus really God? You read those creeds and you go like, wow, they're well thought out. They're well put together. The commands are for the second and third generations, where it says, impress them on your children. Wow. That's quite a responsibility. We have two daughters. Blessed with two daughters. And of course, being a pastor, you know, they have no say really much growing up in what they were going to do. And it bothered me, I said, because when they become teenagers, and you know how a lot of PK kids are, pastor kids, they like to rebel against everything their dad says or preaches from the pulpit, or telling what is right. And thankfully, we did not have to really go through much of that. Right, Sharon? Kind of losing my mind, you gotta think back. And so we were very fortunate with that. But it's like, how do you impress the things of the Lord on your kids, your grandkids? It's pretty simple. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. But what it says here is to talk to them. Just talk to them about the Lord, what he's done for you, why he's important to you. Do your kids know that from you dads? Have they heard you talk about your faith with them or toward them? Not demanding anything, just saying, you better believe what I believe or else you're going to get it. It's just heart-to-heart talk. Just talk with them. You can do that while you're putting the worm on the hook and they're throwing it back in the water with a bobber. And just saying, no, you gotta be patient. And it's like, there goes the bobber! You're supposed to pull real quick to get that fish. And sometimes it takes a lot of patience so bobber doesn't go under the water. But to talk to your children, let them hear it and see it from their parents and their grandparents. I think it's just wonderful if you've come from a family where there has been a Christian faith that's been there from generation to generation. You go back and you go like, yeah, we've been believers. It goes way back to the 18th century or the 17th century. We've always had a strong faith in Christ. You are fortunate people. I'm a first generation Christian. Which means we had to pass on the faith to our children, which is the second generation, and now the grandkids, which are the third. I'm not too sure about these crumb snatchers. But to hear them say that they love Jesus really warms your heart. But you got to go like, well, yeah, you're only 11, and you're only 8, or you're only... How old is Ainsley? 7? Yeah. It's kind of easy in there. It's just brace yourself for the years that are coming. But we want them to know that Christ loves them and cares for them, will forgive them, will have temptations that will fall and give into. Jesus is there to forgive. We get up and we help him. We ask him to help us to stand, and he grabs our hand and leads us through life. And it's going to be that way for all of us, even when we get to be older, parents or grandparents. We don't always do everything right, do we? And I'm glad we see some honesty out there, something like, no, we don't do it all. But this is where dads and grandpas play such an important role. Because all too often our kids grow up and they see that mom is a spiritual leader. You know, that's wonderful, that's great. But the kids need to see dad involved. And grandpa involved. It's dads who set the tone in the home. There will be many kids today who will say, well, the reason I don't go to church is because dad never goes, so I'm not going to go. Where dad likes to do fun things on Sunday mornings, and so do I. We get more out of golfing or fishing or riding bicycles on trails or four-wheeling or just throwing the frisbee or playing catch or going to ball games, if you can do that. I like hanging out with dad. But there is no spiritual input that takes place. There are some Israelites, when they heard Moses say this, because, I mean, Moses goes back to the God of your fathers. And what he's talking about there is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of your fathers. This is the God who we too follow. So it's specific, a specific God. Not any God you can choose or make. It's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Israelites took these commands literally when it says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Have you heard the word phylactery? We find in the New Testament the Pharisees like to wear phylacteries. Phylacteries are also known as frontlets. They're a little box that they would tie to their forehead. And inside that little box is the words of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. It's called the Shema. In Hebrew. And these are the words that are written down and put inside that box on their forehead as well as on their left hand. We saw this when we were over in Israel here a few years ago, that they're at the Wailing Wall, or the Western Wall, and their families, these are Orthodox Jews, that their sons were completing their bar mitzvah, and they were given a Jewish scriptures for their own, and then they would tie on their foreheads the phylactery and had some leather strips that had the little box on their left hand, and inside there was these words. Now God wants us to have these in our hearts, not to have them on our foreheads or taped to our hands or tied to our hands or foreheads. But he wants them in our hearts and in our lives, that this is who we are. And so that still goes on today in Orthodox Jewish families. Another thing that it says here, the very last verse, it says, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I brought with me, there's a word for this that's put on every door frame. It is, what's it called, Sharon?
Mezuzah.
A mezuzah. Yeah, this is a mezuzah. It's put kind of on the door frame, and any Orthodox Jew, when they go into the house, they will touch it. And when they leave, they'll touch it. When they go out, because in the back, there is a space in the back of the mezuzah where it's got the Shema in it. These words are printed and stuck back here, saying that in our house, we take God's word seriously and reverently, and we're just followers of the God of Israel. A mezuzah. It's not something you play. But it's on every, the hotel that we stayed in, it was on every door frame. Every door that we went into, and we'd sometimes see a Jewish family that would touch it before they went in. And that's how I realized, I'd be like, oh, that means something. And it can, this probably won't be as big as this, but you know, inside of it would be the Shema in Deuteronomy that we just saw here today. We are to pass these words on to the next generation so that they in turn will pass them on to their kids. It is wonderful to see our daughters and the guys that they married, that they're on the same page and teaching their kids, which is our grandkids, the importance of knowing who Jesus is and following him. It's just very heartwarming. It's not too late to start if you have not done so today, or if you say like, man, I've blown it, Pastor, I just don't think I could even do it today. I just say pray about it and ask the Lord to help you. Because your kids and grandkids, they're like sponges. And you have a big influence on them, more so than what you may think. And what you may say might hit a nerve or turn a light on where they start singing Amazing Grace. I once was blind, but now I see. God can still use you. And dads, you are just the best. You're just the best. Don't sell yourself short. Don't say you're a dope or an idiot or I'm just a jerk. It may be true, but God can still use you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the words that you gave to Moses to share with those who crossed the Jordan River and got a land of their own finally after 40 years of wandering, a land of milk and honey, a good land. But they also found out that within that land there were enemies, and that they also had to fight these enemies. Because they were not going to just walk away from their cities and their places where they lived and just give them over to the Israelites. But they had to see that there was a God who was with them and a God who also fought for them. A God who cared and loved not only the Jews, but even the Gentile and those who would give their hearts and turn them over to the God of the Israelites. Lord, we thank you that Jesus came into this world. For he is the one that helps us to understand and to see this God of Israel in ways that we could never see him before. The more we learn about Jesus, the more we learn what God is like and how he functions and how he deals with people. So we thank you for Jesus, who shows us and reveals to us the things that are really important in this life, as we know that our real home is in heaven to be with you forever. Thank you, Lord, that you put in our hearts the desire, because of your Holy Spirit, to obey what your word says and does. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for forgiving us when we mess up. Thank you for being with all the dads that are here today. And regardless of where the dads are at, or the grandparents, grandpas here today, we know that we can come to you this morning and just say, Lord, I don't know what to say. I've tried, you know I've tried. I just don't see any results. Lord, I thank you for my children. I thank you for my grandkids, because I do see that the baton has been passed on to them and that they have taken it on themselves. And we have a great time together and a closeness in our home because of it. May there be many more homes in this area, many more dads in this area, Lord, that would come to know Christ in the coming days. We ask this, Lord, we ask you to help us to influence these younger dads, older dads, and everyone in between, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Amen. Let us recite the Apostles' Creed together. Please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And Bob, play the last song. Pass it on.
Copyrighted 1969 by Kurt Kaiser. Go in peace.